Welcome along, folks. Another week, another bucket load of podcasts. And this show is all about highlighting some of the content that's on patreon.com/Mayo Podcast. That's where you get all your information on the Mayo football team, even when they're not in action. It's been a long break, but we filled the airtime, John Gunnigan, with a hell of a lot of content this week.
We did indeed, Rob. We had three separate pods featuring interviews with three different Mayo managers. And then for good measure, we had Colin Boyle back yet again. And Boyle's always good value on the pod. So yeah, very good, very full week. Four separate pods altogether and oodles of content for our loyal club members on Patreon.
I love that set. Yeah, Sean Dean had a long interview with Mike at the end of the usual Final Whistle podcast.
I was there listening in. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, it was cracking stuff. We have a little snippet of that coming up later in this highlights podcast. Michael Moyles, the victorious Mayo ladies manager after the Connacht final. It was the day after too, which made it that bit more compelling and sharper because he had a chance just to catch his breath and then was online with Mike. It's a really, really full and honest and superb interview, well worth signing up for the €5 plus VAT for a loan. And that's before I mentioned the fact that Kevin McStay was on the podcast. Yes, an exclusively long, I don't know if you can use the word exclusive. Kevin was talking to loads of people. Excuse me, folks. But our own one-on-one with Kevin McStay, that's the point. And the only place to get that is on patreon.com/Mayo Podcast. So let's start with the highlights straight away, John. Then you and I can kind of just survey the land once we're done with these clips. Colin Boyle, first up, some interesting stuff here as he looked back on the Connacht final, which he was working at. Let's have a listen to that.
Yeah, it was really poor, mate. And to be honest with you, of that, I'd say definitely three quarters of Galway, Sligo people didn't travel at all. I would say, obviously, the under-20s the day before, they had a good crowd in Salt Hill. So to go 2 days in a row for kind of the diehard Sligo supporter and families and stuff was generally tough. And plus, add in the fact that they probably knew in their heart of hearts what was coming the following day in Castlebar. So it's not going to entice them really to travel. So look at what is that? But Mike, I kind of been saying this for a while. I think this new format is just going to absolutely kill the provincial championships for what it's worth now. Because let's be honest, there's no real benefit from winning it anymore. I said it already. Galway are no better position really than Mayo are after Mayo me beaten 6 weeks ago. Bar maybe having a small bit of momentum going in, but is that going to make a whole pile of difference when Mayo play Kerry or Galway play Tyrone in a couple of weeks? I don't really know, but you, as you said it there, you could maybe see it. Maybe that's one way of making it a small bit more interesting, certain for a final. But just, you take the kind of championship as a whole for what it was a really, really poor championship. Like Mayo, Roscommon was, it was a terrible game, let's be honest. Granted, the weather conditions were really, really poor. And then obviously the way Roscommon set up in that, Galway Roscommon really wasn't much better. Again, very, very defensive game. Came to life for about 15 minutes there, second half, but overall it was poor enough fare. And then obviously it finishes off with that whimper of a final. So it was a really, really poor kind of championship. But going forward, could you try and work it away by seeding where you're nearly guaranteed that it's going to be a Mayo Galway or a Roscommon Galway Mayo final, maybe, but is that fair then to a Leitrim and Roscommon or Leitrim and a Sligo London New York as well? It's a difficult one to know, but I think eventually this is going to peter out with the death of the provincial championship.
And Mike also asked Colin Boyle on the spot without any preparation to give him his power rankings, as they like to call it on other podcasts. I think they do that on the football pod, or certainly on Off the Ball anyways. And here's a Colin Boyle's top three. One team missing, you may notice.
Right, for the crack. Dublin, Kerry, Galway.
Dublin number one?
Yeah, I think so. That Kildare performance would leave you wondering, but I still think that you look at their group, they're going to walk into a quarterfinal. And I think once Dublin hit a quarterfinal, I think they'll kick into gear. You know, it just looks like Dublin are planning with the players they have and the players they brought back for one last massive tilt at winning the All-Ireland. I think if Dublin get there, like, you still have to remember, Mike, they lost Kerry in a semi-final with a monster free from Sean O'Shea, and they didn't have Conor Callan on the pitch. Like, So Dublin, when they if they do get to a, they will be in a quarter. If they do get to a semi or get to a final, will be there or thereabouts and very hard to beat for any team. So they're not in huge form right now, but they don't need to be, let's be honest. I think they'll walk the Leinster final. I think they'll walk through that group and they're in a quarter final and going to be playing a second or third place team, which could be Mayo, which would be very, very interesting. But I just had them slightly there and Kerry beneath and Galway just above us and Derry at the minute. But yeah, it's tough enough to say actually. But
there you have it, John. Before we hear from Kevin McStay, Colin Boyle, gritted teeth, has put Galway ahead of Mayo.
Yeah.
Who is he?
Absolutely.
Who does he think he is? Yeah, like, I mean, does he think he's Mick Foley now?
Yeah, no, you could nearly feel the thumb screws on him there as he admitted it. To be honest, Rob, I'm kind of in much the same territory myself. I'm finding myself saying this to people, you know, more and more, thinking, Jesus, yeah, they look more and more like the finished article, don't they? But maybe that's just us deploying a smokescreen as the group stages are about to begin.
Listen, they weren't exactly miles behind us in the league final and had plenty of reason to feel like they could have won that game, and since then they've gone and won the Connacht title. So yeah, I don't think Colin Boyle is breaking any major issue or causing any major issues with that. Here is
it hurt him though, Rob.
it hurts us all, John. As much as we respect our neighbours, it hurts us all to step back and say, my God, they're brilliant. But they certainly are brilliant. How brilliant? Well, we'll find out in the next few weeks. They have a tough group. More on that separately. Kevin McStay wasn't exactly saying he has anything other than a tough group either, but he's focused on one game, and that's the Kerry game coming up next weekend. We're going to have plenty of podcasts all over that. But to get the ball rolling from a press conference on Friday in Mick Loftus' room at McHale Park, Kevin McStay spoke to the local media and then took some time for our podcast. Here's just a little sample of how he set the scene for Killarney. I think it should get you fired up, but if you want more, you know where to look. All right, you've been brilliant with your time, and we really appreciate this. You're raring to go now. Six weeks off. No, sorry, I should say in terms of the championship, the 6 week gap. I'd say you guys just can't wait to hit the field.
Well, you see, it gets a bit nervy now with, you know, 7, 8, 9 days out, because all you're hoping is that we do ourselves justice, that we perform now the way we've prepared. That's always the big challenge of championship. You know, I often say we'll know this within 5 minutes of the start. The way people are contesting, the intensity, the enthusiasm, the energy, you know, and I know all the coaches are the same. We're looking for, we're demanding, if we're allowed demand, I think we are, massive energy levels for what's going to happen down here. We feel we're in a good place. The injuries have given us all a huge boost. The tidy up means we have a lot of options. Means we can really present a challenge and sustain that challenge, I think. And what a game to look forward to. We'll find out an awful lot about ourselves, Rob. It'll be some gut check for us in terms of where are we now 6 weeks after the Roscommon. Should we know everything coming back on the bus, exactly where we are? And I'm hoping, as I said to you, that we have more than enough air in the balloon to keep at it then for the next two rounds.
That's only a snippet, John, but really enjoyed that chance to chat to Kevin McStay. And you can see, you know, people say, oh, are people going to change in different type of jobs? And obviously, we've heard Kevin McStay after games and he's focused. He's not sitting back in a chair just having the chats with us. But in this moment, just before, as he said himself, the new competition begins, I think he just wanted to take a chance to say, look, this is my squad. This is how things are. If there's speculation going around about injuries, I'd prefer if you just spoke to me. I think that's who Kevin McStay is. And it doesn't fit the mold of the modern personality of managers around the country. And I have absolutely no doubt, John, that from here on forth in this championship, we won't get a chance to just sit back and relax with Kevin McStay like that. But just for a couple of minutes, it was great. And he really set things out for us.
He did, yeah. It's an ideal time to do it, in fairness to him, because as he said himself, like one bit of the championship has finished and another bit is about to start. The decisive bit is about to start. So there was a good gap there. It was a good time to do it. I think to some degree there the pendulum has begun to swing back the other way on transparency anyway, because with the ruling that counties have to release their squad, their match day squad details on the Friday. That lets the light in a little bit more. So if you like it, like all we're doing in releasing the squad details is just releasing the other 10 names, most of whom were known already. I think Mike said the only one that was missing out, and he had a chat about this with Colin Boyle on that pod, was James McCormack from Clare Morrison. They had a good chat about him. So in that sense, you know, I think we're swimming with the tide. But in fairness, Kevin was always open, even like when he was with Roscommon as well. He famously used to announce the full squad details very early in the week. So I think that goes with his that would be his view of the world, and I think he's sticking to his principles.
Yeah, and this is more pedantic stuff, but I know some of you are interested in this kind of detail. He also kind of let people aware what happens in the background when they do name the match day 26. I think they're allowed to have, as he said himself, is it three or four players on standby? I actually have misremembered which one it was. It might be four, but he said you have to even think about that and make sure you have cover at goalkeeper and make sure you have cover at somewhere else as well. So it's interesting. I think whatever you feel about transparency, I think the GAA have helped things immensely, and just to help people's enjoyment of following these games by enforcing a more stricter process. So yeah, that's a good thing.
At least it standardizes it, because yes, I think that was the problem up to now, is that some counties would more or less play by the book and others wouldn't, you know, and I think it does make it better in that respect, because I think there is, you either go one way and have the full squad, or else you go the other way and it's, you know, 10 minutes before throw-in or whatever. And they've decided to go this way. Now, that doesn't stop last-minute changes, and we saw some of those in the two matches today. But at the same time, it does make it more transparent, and I think fans obviously will appreciate that.
Brilliant. All right, more on Mayo senior footballers in the men's competition down in Killarney anon. But for the rest of our clips, we're going to change tact. First of all, to the ladies, Michael Moyles and his superb management team, who have caught the eye and caught our ears in our podcast over the last year and a bit. He was on with Mike Finnerty after Mayo upset the odds, I'm going to say, although they won't look at it that way, and beat Galway in the Connacht final to set themselves up for a right good crack at the All-Ireland this year. Michael was superb, and I just think this captivates what was a brilliant and really full and frank interview.
We're football people. We play football a specific way. And if you look at it, I suppose a lot of those girls in that dressing room never had a Connacht medal, like at underage or at senior, which is hard to believe. if you look into the likes of Fiona McHale, I think, I don't know, was that her third or fourth, you know, Sully second. And the majority of our girls hadn't got a Connacht medal in their pocket. Like, and in a two-horse race, that's just not good enough. Like, and I don't know, is it a mindset or just a realisation of this has to change? And again, as I said, we're the flagship team. We have to, as a group, to make that change and make that difference that our underage teams, and you can see the under-14s, the under-16s and minors over the last couple of weeks all have had very good wins and good games and good competition. They're going well in their competition. So we need to be at ours as well. Like, so look, it's been a culmination of an awful lot of work from over the last 2.5 years. And the biggest thing, I suppose, last year was getting a group together. Second thing was keeping them together. And then it was going towards what we're trying to do this year.
How important was it, do you think, that you went out and won that game yesterday? I mean, if the result hadn't gone your way, you're still in the championship, but would it have really damaged your project? Would it have set the group back, do you think, to have been beaten by Galway yesterday?
I think so, yeah. I absolutely believe so. And we had set up in a way that, like, this was our main focus, and we had the tools this year to do it. And that's not being disrespectful to anyone that was on the panel last year, whatever. We had a panel of 26 last year. You can see the difference our bench made yesterday, and we still had loads left on our bench. And I mean loads. And that team could have been picked four or five different ways. We were able to go out and probably set up to, you know, curtail Galway in certain regards and to be able to hit them. Like, if you look at the last 2 years, we bet Galway in an All-Ireland quarterfinal. We went out against Dublin the week afterwards, up in Grove Park, and they bet us in the first 10 minutes. Similarly, last year, we bet Cork, probably against everybody's expectations, and then we went out against Kerry and they blew us away. You know, we stayed in the game score for score, but the goals killed us. We weren't able to adapt from game to game and team to team. I think this year, we're there. We're much further along the line. And that's credit to the girls and the amount of hard work they've put in, but also, you know, the underage systems and the clubs, what they're producing in Mayo.
Great stuff from Michael Moyles. Do you know, we've heard it. Actually, John, just for a second, we're going to jump now to Friday just to link this piece of audio from Michael Moyles with Nigel Reap, who, of course, this lady's team, very close to his heart, his two daughters involved in the panel. And that aside, Mike asked him, after talking a bit about Mayo's draw with Sligo in the minor championship, which admittedly was the old cliche of a dead rubber, but certainly turned to be an entertaining contest. More on that in a minute. But the conversation, as it always does on these brilliant Final Whistle podcasts, they're turning into like a magazine show with the lads on tour, John and Nigel and Mike. And this was all about the ladies, and some great stuff here from Nigel Reap, just on the perspective of what's happening around ladies football.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I kind of touched on it. You probably knew from the way I spoke about it the last night that I was kind of yearning to a degree for a win, not just because my own two daughters' involvement, but because I've been at all their matches, you know. And I know when you come that close, even the management, you know, the lads are involved in the management, you know, you get frustrated, you feel the gods are completely against you with what happened in a couple of the league games, and it doesn't work out. But I think Mayo got the just desserts or rewards. I think they were way better team. I think, fairness to Michael Moyles and his management team, they pulled two or three rabbits out of the hat, and they worked seriously well.
Daniel
Caldwell, all star defender, yeah, plays at centre forward, and bamboozled Galway, I think.
And Galway's on the girl that has caused damage to all teams, and I think it was absolutely a brilliant call because it put them on the back foot straight away. And the girl that carries the most ball forward, Diane or Young Caldwell, she along with her carrying the ball and doing the damage, every time the number 6 from Galway, I think she's Young Ward, came out, she had her, you know. And to put Rachel Kearns at midfield, you know, I'd say nobody's seen that coming, and she came from deep, kicked a few great scores, and she's a bundle of energy, and she's a teak tough, you know. And the where she comes from in Crossland, there's no shortage of them there. And the other one I have to mention, and I thought she was my player of the match, was Aoife Geraghty from Westport. They played her at 6, and I thought it was a huge call, but she drove out time after time. It's well set up. Fiona McHale sat back and covered when that happened, and she was very good at that. But I thought Aoife Geraghty was absolutely brilliant. She was outstanding.
Also, I should note, just if you're wondering what the reference to the mullets are, well, that's the kind of crack the lads have as well. Apparently, some of these Mayo minors are sporting some pretty 1980s style haircuts with a slight twist and variation. You have to listen to the podcast to understand a bit more about that, but that's what Nigel's referencing here when he talks about
it. I think just suffice to say it was sort of owl lads talking about young lads' hairdos, you know.
Here it is.
Before we jump into AOB lads and finish, John, something that caught my eye, and I'm sure it caught your eye. They say everything eventually comes back into fashion. Did you think you'd seen the last of the mullet? And then we see a couple of mullets it was like watching T.G. Cahir gold, or, you know, All-Ireland final gold there with a couple of young lads who came bounding in with the hair halfway down their back.
Yeah.
It must have brought back great memories for you.
It did, yeah. Time when I had hair, you know. I have to say now, there's some interesting hair in our house at the moment with my son. His sister on charge when he said, "You look like George Washington," because he has a sort of man bun job going on. Yeah, the mullet is a bit different now, though, Mike, because, yeah, I mean, in our day, we didn't kind of shave a few inches above the ear, you know. So that the 2021 version looks even worse than the 1980s version, if that's possible.
Nigel, you're the man with the teenage daughters and a teenage son in the house. Your thoughts on the return of the mullet?
Well, the only thing I will say, Mike, is I know how much it costs to keep your hair. Not that it costs me anything, but to keep your hair in certain ways. And at the moment, I know you said I was... What do you call me in this gig? The management consultant.
Management consultant.
Well, I was Googling that job, and I tell you, it's very well paid. But I think at the moment, the only other job I might want instead of it is being a hairdresser or a barber, because I'd say they're making... Every time I go into one of these places, there's a line of young bucks around me, and I don't know what any more hair they can take off certain areas. As you said, above the ear, there's nothing left. But no, it's brilliant to see, you know. It just shows you how confident young fellas are and all that kind of stuff, how laid back there, for want of a better word.
Great stuff from Nigel. And yeah, you can see, like, it's brilliant, because Nigel's love for football and his passion for what he's talking about is never, ever anything other than from the heart. And it's never about vested interests. But this is one of the times when he obviously has a vested interest in that. And he's not afraid of saying, look, it's kind of woken me up a little bit as well. having his two daughters involved in the panel. But yeah, we're super excited about watching them in the championship now, John. We're going to get out and see them in action. We've watched them throughout the league on, in my case, on TG Garra's coverage. But yeah, really looking forward to seeing them up close, because they've been a superb kind of side to represent the county so far, and there's a lot of energy around them now.
Oh, there is, of course. Yeah. And I thought the interview with Michael Moyles was excellent, because you could just really feel the passion with him in the job that he's doing, the great team that he's got around him, and the group of players that he's working with. And I think, as I mentioned it on the Final Whistle pod, I mean, what struck me, Michael said, one of the main things is that he said was that the narrative has been changed about away from the players who aren't here, the ones who are in Australia, to the players who are here. And I think that really came through in spades the last day. And that's such a huge win for them, because that really alters their position in the scheme of things going into the group stages. Because, you know, of course, the LGFA are ahead of the GAA in terms of provincial championships, followed by group stages and all the rest. So they've shown us the path. But it's a three-team group. Should be able to certainly get through, but you know, we could have good hopes of topping that group, and you can see a path now into the business end for this team, all going well for them. So yeah, so there's a lot of excitement around the Mayo Ladies team this year, and we're hoping it's going to be a good summer for them.
Each week we cover every single ladies game that going forward. We'll be covering the minors, the under 20s. We're involved in Final Whistle podcasts around all those games. And even when the minors had a game against Sligo at the weekend, which ultimately didn't mean anything, we made sure we were there. The podcast had become so popular, we weren't going to miss a game. After every game, we get a chance to catch up with the management. Sean Dean spoke with Mike Finnerty, and in particular, he spoke about the atmosphere at this game and his call for lots of Mayo supporters, as many as possible, to come out next Friday, where Mayo take on Roscommon, and winner moves on, loser is out for the season. So a huge game in the Connacht semi-final next weekend against Roscommon at McHale Park on Friday evening. And here's Sean Dean talking about the support.
A home semi-final here next Friday evening. Is that important that it's here in Castlebar? And will that form any part or a big part of your team talks, or your messaging maybe to the players between now and next Friday night, the fact that it's on your home patch and Roscommon are coming here to Castlebar?
Absolutely. Like, you look at any team that comes to Mayo, they're coming into our backyard, and we're very precious of that field out there. We're very precious of the surroundings, and it's good that it's here, but that's not going to win you the game. Mm-hmm. And we know we have a huge amount of work to do. But there's one thing we were also very impressed with this evening, was all the kids from the schools that were there. And, you know, young lads that are 7 or 8 or 9, and the noise that they made was absolutely hugely impressive. And I commend the clubs that had their players there tonight. And I know there was an exhibition game at halftime, but that enthusiasm and that support, no doubt about it, probably got us over the line. So one thing I would do is I would appeal to the Mayo supporters to come out and make noise next Friday night for us, and make noise for the guys, because it's knockout football. And these guys, you know, I could say they deserve to go on. Like, you have to work to get these sort of things. Like, but you know, if you're looking at the 16th man will be the Mayo supporters the next night. Like, and having the array of, as I said, young kids there was hugely, hugely impressive. And as I said, made a difference. Like, if you're on the field and all you hear is Mayo, Mayo, Mayo being called, I can tell you something. It was Riley me in the sideline, and mind the guys in the field.
I'll say this, John, as well as yourself and Nigel and Mike, just having the crack at the games and bringing us all the stories from these minor games, you know, the interviews with Sean Dean as well. I do feel, and like, I mean, this is rich coming from us because we're going to sell ourselves now, but I do feel like you're almost getting a kind of a Drive to Survive style as it happens documentary, because not many minor teams kind of get followed as much as we can do in this podcast, and we have the ability to, thanks to you, our listeners who are on Patreon already and helping us do do this. This is what it makes. Their support, people supporting us on Patreon and joining us and following us, make it possible for us to kind of really, really do some in-depth coverage around our inter-county teams.
Yeah, and that was, I think, the whole idea behind going this route, Rob, wasn't it? We said we could, we'll be able to put out more and more content. The minor story is a great story, you know. It's a great format because you have at least there's five rounds of games, and then if you're good enough, there's a semi final followed by a final if you get through there, and if you get through the semi final, you're into the All Ireland series. So it's a great team to follow because you're more or less guaranteed a run of games. So it has been good. I think we've built up a bit of momentum in it. Sean Dean has been great. He's been very, very generous with his time. He's so unfailingly open, and I think like his interviews with Mike at the end of the final whistle pods over the last number of weeks have been a real highlight for me. He's been very, very good. So yeah, as he said himself, Friday evening's match is a massive one. It's actually even bigger than the Connacht final because this is a knockout game, and it's only if we win that that we then are guaranteed a place in the All-Ireland series. Nice to win the Connacht title as well, but that's a nice to have rather than a must have. Friday evening against Roscommon is a must have, and Sean's absolutely right. I mean, this team needs support. It's a home game, so hopefully we'll have a decent Mayo crowd there on Friday evening for it.
All right, well, we appreciate you tuning in on this feed, and we'll try to bring you as much of the highlights as we can. If you aren't signed up yet to patreon.com/MayoPodcast. But I will say this, right? What a week. Killarney, we're about to kickstart the new phase of the championship. Like, we can play around with the idea of this is the best possible fixture. Like, whether or not it is, John, it's just a flipping great fixture for us to go to, and I think you just have to accept, just kind of accept what comes from it. But going to Killarney for a championship game with a bit of a safety net, that's not bad.
Oh yeah, I mean it's the match of the weekend, like for sure. I mean, and I thought Kevin put it very, very well in his chat with you, Rob, because I think you were saying like we're going down there to play the All Ireland champions, and he said, yeah, we're the league champions. and that was nice. Yeah, it is. It's top billing, and who doesn't want to be involved in games like that? It's not all or nothing. We know that, and Kevin was very clear on that too, but he was also equally clear in terms of how important the first game is. So I think we're not going to go down there like 2019. 2019 was completely different set of circumstances. Like, we'd just beaten Galway, remember, in Limerick.
Yeah,
the week before that. Kerry had lost their first round Super 8 the previous year. So to lose at home in a first round Super 8 game was just, like, it was unthinkable for them. And I think all of those things went into the pot. And we got the match we did. I think we're going to get a very, very different game in Killarney next Saturday. And yeah, I mean, who couldn't be up for this?
It's amazing. I mean, it was a fixture that was just incomprehensible, unthinkable 5 years ago. Summer fixture, massive crowd, Kerry and Mayo and Killarney. We know the way. When Mayo go to Kerry, it's usually cold, wet and chilly. And we love it because it's brilliant. And that's not, and the weather's no different up here either at that time of year, but it's brilliant to be. And who knows? I've just probably jinxed it now. It will be cold and wet. But look, whatever it is, it should be good fun. I know some of you have been struggling to get hotels down in Killarney, and the 3 o'clock kickoff, or 3 o'clock throw-in, forgive me, will obviously make life a little bit easier if you have to get back. We're going to go for a night in Tralee, I think, John. That's our plan.
No, it's a long way down, Rob, you know. None of us are getting younger, so yeah, it just makes sense, doesn't it?
Why not? We may as well enjoy it. On the show over a week ago, not in the highlights, we had Mick Foley joining Billy Joe Patton to look at the draw before we even knew it was Kerry were playing. But that's worth listening back to as well, because they kind of lay out the parameters of that. But if you want more Billy Joe Patton, he's on this week as part of the preview show. More on the special guest that will be with him anon. Also, Shamey O'Shea is going to be back on the podcast speaking with Mike Finnerty a little bit later in the week. We haven't heard from Shamey for a good while, and we certainly enjoyed the last chat we had with him, so that's going to be great content. Come what may after the minor match against Roscommon in the Final Whistle podcast. We'll have a chance also, as we always do, to talk about some of the other news. And by that stage, late on Friday night, I'd like to think we'll have the teams from both sides named, so we can have a bit of a chat about that as well. So that's what's going to be on your feed this week, leading in to our full coverage on Saturday, where instantly as is possible, straight after the game, we'll have a Final Whistle podcast for you as well. So, yeah, can't wait, John. It's been too long.
Oh, it has. But I mean, you know, we haven't been absent over the last number of weeks. I think we've put out a significant amount of content since the Roscommon game. We haven't forgotten about the seniors. We've kept that pot bubbling nicely, and obviously we've had the minors to concentrate on as well. But yeah, I think we're moving now into the serious stuff, and yeah, I think the volume is going to get pumped up a good bit over the coming weeks.
I was on the road the last day. I was driven by a few different grounds around the county, including Hollymount, and on Saturday evening, and the games were on, the club is back, the league games they're playing, and it's just that time of year now. The football is heating up. The Ulster final provided the only drama of the provincial championships, John. It's going to be talked about a lot on other football pods, so we won't spend too much on it, but I don't think it's been a great 2023 for the provincial championships, even if Ulster provided lots of drama today with Derry winning on penalties.
Yeah, I think it's the death knell of the provincial championships, I think, frankly. I mean, three awful finals. And to be honest with you, the Ulster final, it had drama, I'll give you that, but I mean, it was for most of that game, it was a dour old fixture. And Rob, what on earth was going on with the two teams playing in virtually the same colours? I mean, I'm colourblind.
It doesn't matter. So it makes it as bad as it is. It's outrageous for people who are colourblind, but it goes beyond that, because it was just it was impossible to tell the teams apart.
But that's not Derry's home strip. Their strip is the Aughamore colours, you know. So what's all that about? I mean, and if they'd worn their primary strip, there wouldn't have been any clash. I mean, it beggars belief. I'm still in a state of shock about it. But yeah, penalty shootout, first ever penalty shootout to decide a provincial championship. And I think that's probably an appropriate note to bring the curtain down on it, because it's just, it's poor fare this year.
If the provincial championships matter that much and you can't find room in a calendar to at least have one replay for the final, then they clearly don't matter as much as you're trying to tell us they do. That's the way I put it anyway. So that said, people will say the Oakley, oh, try telling that to the Derry fans around on the pitch. Of course we get that, it's a huge moment for them, but strange way to end it. Alright John, enough of that. As everyone's saying now, and we of course are banging the drum about this in Mayo, why wouldn't we, since we got chasing so quickly in the competition? A new competition is about to begin, and everyone starts again. I think Kevin McStay said it in the wider press conference. Everybody's lost a game somewhere along the way so far this season, so we all go again.
Yeah, well, apart from this, there's four that haven't, and they're obviously deserving in that sense to be the top seeds.
I should say he was referencing league and championship, so that's where he was coming from with that. So they lost one somewhere, yeah. So that was his wider point. Yes, of course, those four sides are unbeaten in the championship.
Yeah,
for sure.
No. I mean, that's it. Nobody has got a clean bit of health at this stage. But I mean, it's going to be just so interesting because it's all so new. It does feel a little bit rushed and condensed and all the rest, but I guess when we're in the middle of it, we'll just have to take it, as Kevin says, one game at a time and see where it lands us.
All right, that's it from us. A little sample of what's on the feed. You know where to go, patreon.com/Mayo podcast. As I always say to you, it's an app. Download it on your phone, the Patreon app. Once you download that, that's where you can search for the Mayo podcast, and you will find easily how to sign up there. It's great to have you on board. Thanks to everyone who's already signed up. And we really, really are looking forward to bringing you tons of content as the championship builds up. In the meantime, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, John.